This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word in Parshas Sisu. There's some cipher on the Pusik Vruisa Sachoira Ifuna Loi Rui. He says a very big word. He says very often we find things that happen, that Hashem does, and we don't understand why they're happening. People wonder, why is Hashem doing such a thing? And as time goes on, it starts becoming more understandable, and we see how it was all part of a big plan. And slowly things fall into place. He says, as we know, now in Chodesh Uder, just past Pirim Kutin, but in Espirim, Vashti got killed, and Esther Malka was taken into the palace, and all these things that looked unexplainable, nobody understood why they were happening, and then slowly it became understood that it was all part of a preparation for being Matzal Klal Yisrael. But before that, it wasn't understood, and somebody who believes in Hashem, he knows even in advance that, oh, it's part of a plan. But sometimes we don't see it until it happens. Because the Pusik is saying, V'ru'isa sachoirai. Achoirai means after something happens, that's when you could see it and understand it. But the funa lo yirui, in advance you don't understand, and that's why we have to have the minna and the betochen that Hashem knows what's good for us, and He's preparing us for something better. And it's just a general idea as people go on in life. You know, we get married and we have children, and you know, life takes its course, as they call it, but it's not taking its course, it's Hashem's course. And very often we don't understand in advance why things are happening, how they're happening, and we have to believe. And I think that another related idea, closely related, is the idea that very often before people enter certain stages in life, they don't know how they're going to do it, they don't know if they're going to manage, they don't know if they'll have the finances or the ability or the resources or whatever it is. And then slowly things fall into place. It's amazing how Hashem has it all set up for us in advance, and sometimes we don't realize it. And very often, when people rely on Hashem, when they trust in Hashem, and they know that, okay, I'm just doing mine, they see it all starts making sense, and we start seeing that we could step up to the plate and do things that Hashem sends our way, and with Hashem's help, be matzliach. Let me read a letter. Dear Bagrun, thank you so much for your beautiful shiurim. What attracted me to your shiurim was my struggle with my young, fragile child. However, I have gained so much, both in my shalom bias as well as in all of my relationships. May you continue to spread clarity to all of Klal Yisrael. Amen. I have a quick question. Okay, I guess quick means I need an answer quickly, which not always can I provide, as you know. Baruch Hashem, I am expecting a new baby shortly. My two older children, ages 7 and 5, are extremely sensitive children, and I know that a change like this will affect them tremendously. None of them have, as of yet, brought up anything regarding my appearance, or just in general the feeling of anticipation in regards to the simcha. When I ask my daughter, who is a very sensitive child, my son also, but not to that extent, I ask her if she wants me to bring home a new baby, and she doesn't hesitate to say no. We have a 2.5-year-old toddler, and that's enough for her. I would like to know what's the best way to prepare the children for what is coming, and at the same time avoid sensitive questions, or for that matter, how do I answer those questions like, how do you know before, and where did the baby come from? Again, this is not a topic that any of them have brought up yet, but it is a matter of time, and I would very much like to have the proper tools. I know that this will not be addressed for a while, however, I'd appreciate if you could drop me a couple of lines until you address it in the shiur. Okay, thank you. Okay, so I do keep on mentioning the importance. I may have discussed this in previous shiurim, and I'm not going to go reference to that now. I do keep on mentioning the importance of having someone to talk to. Maybe the ideas we discuss arouse people to get clearer guidance. Like I keep on saying, I don't look at these classes as practical, hands-on guidance, both because the answer is coming by the time you might be expecting another child already, but in general, I don't know people's situations, and I'm just trying to give ideas and discuss the different sides of a coin. But it's important to have someone to talk to. Whenever anything comes up, it's important to have who to discuss something with, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable. Very often it's necessary. Okay, now talking about a new baby, can I know how to, what could be better? Expecting a baby and the different things that could come about with a simcha like that. I think the first thing that's important to acknowledge is that this is a normal transition and nothing to panic. Many people had babies, many people had sensitive children, and it's true that there are issues that have to be tended to, but nothing to panic, nothing to panic. It's like everything in life where, before a kid goes to school, they panic, and before a boy goes from chayda to yeshiva, sometimes they panic, and before you go from yeshiva to yeshiva gedoyla, and before you get married, and before you have children, before you marry them off, and all different stages in life, and before you know it, it's all gone by. But there's nothing to panic. Hashem set up our lives in a way that, Baruch Hashem, the normal transition, and the same Eibishter that takes care of us having children, being able to have children, how many children, He's the one that gives us the koiches and gives our family the koiches and the resources and the finances and the abilities and whatever it is that we need to go into the next stage in life. Very often, if we would have to really feel comfortable that, oh, I could do this, we might wait forever. And it's not even good for a person to feel that he could do it, because nobody could do anything on their own. It's all the Eibishter, and it's important to remember that. And as long as you're dealing with anything normal, there is healthy reason to assume that you'll be able to have the koiches for it. You're not putting yourself into something that's not normal, or not something that you should be expecting to be able to accomplish. You're doing things that are asked of you, and Hashem is helping you with them, and there's no reason to think otherwise. And you know, in general, today it's a generation where there's so much education and so much help and so much guidance and support in every stage in life that people feel sometimes like, what if I'm missing out on the important rules or tools that I don't know yet? As if it takes a lot to be able to get married and have children. I know, and I'm one of the people that tries to help with a lot of information and knowledge that helps people at any stage in life. But I think it's always important to just remember that, yeah, people always got married and always had children and moved on. And it's true that people have made mistakes, and we also make mistakes, but there's something about just taking it easy and realizing that, yes, this is all normal, and it will, in Mitzrayim, all work out. A lot of times people get very, very stuck and feeling very insecure, and either because someone else heard more classes, or someone else is better prepared, or someone else is dealing with something that seems much easier. But you know, in the big picture, it's important not to panic or be afraid. Hashem gives the strength and capabilities. There are many people that get stuck in life bichlal. I talk to people that are never stuck with not doing a shidduch, or not having babies, or not moving on in different areas because I don't know if I can handle it. And people don't like when you say that, you know, oh, you could, it'll be good. No, but I don't know if I could, I'm not ready. Again, there is something about being ready, and there is something about people who are unfortunately not ready, and there are exceptions to the rule, but in general, it's important to move forward with conviction and confidence, and knowing that Hashem will give the koiches. We don't have to have it figured out before we do things that Hashem is asking us to do, which means getting married and raising children and doing what we have to. And those who look at other people and say, yeah, they think they know what they're doing, and look how they're struggling, and look how this, and look how that, it's because they weren't prepared. It's not a Torah dig a blick. It's not the way that the Torah wants us to look at things and feel empowered, like, oh, I can raise 3 children, but I can't raise 6. Could you raise 3 children? Could anyone raise 3 children? Could anyone do this on their own? It's only because Shula shits from with them, and the Eibishter is the one that's giving us the power. Could anyone know in advance that they could get married and run a home and raise a family? Nobody can know. Could anyone? The fact that somebody feels confident and empowered, does it mean that he'll do well? Nobody knows. It's all Siyat Dishmaya. So the fact that somebody is missing that confidence and resists moving on in life and doing what they should be doing out of fear is generally not the right way to do things. And unless someone's dealing with an exception, which they have to address properly, not just stay stuck, there's no reason to think like that. Another thing that's also important to remember, something I mentioned quite a few times recently alone, any change in life, any change in anything, any change in schedule and dynamics, in anything, a circumstance, a situation, environment, anything, any change is going to affect people. The question how it's going to affect you is usually something that you could deal with properly. So often people blame circumstance and blame certain changes that happened. Look, since this thing happened, everything went haywire. And it's true. It's true that since unfortunately, a child that's not well, for example, was born, everything went haywire. Since the father lost the job, everything went haywire. It's true. But very often, how you're going to adapt to a change in life is up to you. Almost every change could be dealt with in a way that people grow from it, and they bond together, and they unite, and they overcome it, and they come out stronger because of it. And sometimes it's the other way around. Just last week, I was talking to a boy who reminded me that he spoke to me a couple of years ago when he was a younger boy, also a bucher, and he went through a very difficult period in yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, I tried to help him back then. He said, you don't know what that did for me. You don't know what that did for me. Overcoming the challenge that I was experiencing then turned me into who I am today, and since then I'm a much stronger person. So again, sometimes people go through those kind of challenges in yeshiva, and they just leave yeshiva for good, and they struggle for the rest of their lives. And sometimes people use it and grow from it. So I think that having a baby, for example, it's a big change. Going from a family of 2 to a family of 3 is a big change. It's a change that could make things difficult and challenging and make your kids struggle and make you struggle with them, or it's something that could be used in the right way. And it's always, very often, it depends on the attitude and the mindset and learning how to use it properly and make everyone feel good about it and moving on. Another thing about a new baby, before I try to address anything practical about the question that was asked, is that, you know, it sounds like you're very concerned about how your children are going to deal with it, which is very important, between the baby and the children and the balance and whatever. But there's also a lot of self-care, which is just, I don't know if it's the right place or I'm the right person to talk about this, but very often a new mommy postpartum is dealing with a lot of challenge, a lot of stress, and trying to be a good mommy and trying to take care of the other kids as well, and trying to be a martyr and a hero. And it's not easy. And sometimes it just ends up breaking down somewhere, unfortunately. So it's very important to know that as much as you want to take care of your children and make sure that they handle the transition well and they deal with it well, it's just as important to know that you're dealing with it well, whether it's self-care, whether it's having someone help you, whether it's being a little easier on yourself or cooking a little less or taking time off or going away, even if, you know, it's all part of the equation. My point is that often when a mommy has a new baby, the mommy is very dedicated to the baby, obviously, a good mommy, and often very dedicated to the other children, and just trying to deal with all that at the same time, you know, somewhere it has to give, and very often people are just hard on themselves, and that's also something that ends up just being hard for everyone. So it's definitely part of an equation of, I want to make sure that my baby is taken care of well, and that my daughter and my son are being taken care of well, and myself as well, and balancing all of that is not always easy, but just something to remember. Okay, now let's get practical over here, right? Kids that don't want a baby and they have questions about babies and things like that. Let's just talk about the questions first. And I spoke about this in the past. I'm not saying that it's needed at all. As a matter of fact, for most people, especially with children this age, most people don't address these things, I think. I shouldn't say most, but many. Many people don't address it. They don't talk to children about having babies. And eventually they have the baby. And eventually most people, by osmosis, pick up on what a mommy looks like before she has one, and how you know it's coming, or what you heard about it, but not much more than that. Most people don't have these big sit-down conversations about it, and it's generally okay. It's one of those normal things that the Eibishter made, that they move on and adapt. Now, I know today's day and age, people have different ideas, and people are much more open with children, and they talk about things, and they learn how to say things, and I'm not going to go now into a lot of detail, but I know a lot of people who learned ways of communicating with children, a lot of interesting things, and it worked against them. So I don't think it's always necessary. If you think it's needed, either because you know that your child is wondering something and bothered by something, or your child does ask you, that's a separate story. So I'm saying in general, I think that it's just fine to not say anything until it's brought up, or not say anything at all, and that's fine too. If when somebody does bring something up, so we could talk about that. Now, in this case, right, because you're concerned and you feel it's necessary to talk to your children about having a baby because you don't think they'll deal with it well, so that's already one topic, it's nice to ask children, would you like for mommy to bring home a baby? Because the children that will say, yeah, will get excited and they'll feel good about the question and they'll be more ready for it to happen and excited when it happens. If it's not working, that's a different story. I think in general, asking people if they want something and doing it because, and they think that you're doing it because they said they want it, that's always wonderful. Not only with children, with adults as well. Right? If you're planning a vacation and you're going to ask your spouse, do you think we should go, and wait for the answer to be yeah, and okay, so we'll go because he or she wants, that's always wonderful. But if it's not working, then obviously you're not going to get stuck on that. Getting stuck on an opinion of a child, you know, family planning based on when the kids are asking for a new baby would obviously be ridiculous. So if you ask the question, you got to know, then you don't ask again. For some children, it could work to talk about Hashem and the Shumas, and there's a Neshama that wants to come down, and Hashem is sending us a beautiful Matuna, and things like that. You know, sometimes that works. And if that also doesn't work, then sometimes you don't have to talk about these things. You know, if it's going to happen, and you're going to try to prepare children, that's fine, but don't get stuck on something that's going to cause more problems just because you're bringing it up. As I said before, sometimes, you know, talking about topics just cause bigger problems because now you're addressing a child as if they're an adult, as if they're part of a decision-making thing which is going to work against you. If this is a topic already, being that you already asked the question, or being that you want to make sure that your children will be okay with it because you have reason to think that they won't, you could prep them with what they could get when we have another baby, Matzashem, right? Or where do you want to go when we have a baby, and have them incentivized based on that. You can make them calm before any changes happen, because sometimes children could feel abandoned or not knowing what to expect. But in general, you know, there's a good thing that our family could have, a good gift, a good privilege, a good something, that when we have a baby, we're going to do this or that. You could definitely try to get them a little more motivated and excited, but all within reason, and all on your terms. Not that your daughter should dictate that when we have a baby, we're going to have to go to Florida for Pesach if you're not ready for that. But I think that that's something that's gentle. It's light. You're not telling them that you're having a baby or when you're having a baby, but you are slowly getting them a little more interested in the idea and something that they're going to remember the more you talk about it. And also, for some people, that just might help children develop a feeling of what's about to happen now that we're talking about the baby and we're talking about where we're going to go when we have one, etc. It helps them just understand what's really happening without asking too many questions. In general, if there's any turbulence happening because of it, whether it means, Chaz HaShulam, it shouldn't be with problematic situations, but I'm saying sometimes, just to know what to expect when things really do shift, whether it means going to Bobby's house or going whatever, you talk about these things in advance just to make sure the kids are okay with it. You don't always have to ask them if you're afraid that the answer won't be what you want to hear, but getting them, getting them a little clear about what might happen in some time in the future and letting them become comfortable with that maybe happening one day. I think for some children who don't deal with change well, it could do very good. I know that there are children that feel abandoned and feel they can't take the surprise, and that's disturbing for them. Some children just don't deal with these things well, and the more you talk about it and you get them used to it and you let them call certain shots, the ones that you're ready for them to call, I think that would definitely be helpful. Now, if a child does ask a question about are you expecting, or does mommy have a baby inside, or you're having one, I don't think it's good to lie to children. It's a thing we spoke about in general when children ask adult questions or sensitive questions. You don't want to lie, because sometimes you don't have to always say the entire truth, but lying about something that they're going to find out was a lie is usually not helpful. How you know? Hashem knows how to tell parents. I think there are very powerful answers that children accept the fact that you're not telling them the full story. How do children, where do you get them? You get them from the hospital. I think that's what I was told, and I think that's what most children are told, which happens to be true somewhat. And I think that a lot of these things could be dodged, and you just deal with the things that are making a child feel more comfortable and more prepared, and that's all they really need. A lot of times they're asking questions because they're insecure or they're worried, and as long as you're taking care of their feelings about it, I don't think they're as curious as you think they are. And if you have anything deeper or more specific, I think you might want to talk to someone specific about giving clearer answers. Now, just a general idea that this is making me think of is my daughter doesn't want us to have a baby. It's almost like saying my child doesn't want us to move, right? And parents have this all the time. They're about to move to a new city. My child's resisting. What do I do? Again, it's important to take children seriously. Very important to take children seriously. They're a big part of the equation. But it's also important to not be afraid of your kids. I was just talking to somebody recently who he told me it came a point where, you're talking about teenagers, not because they were struggling teenagers or there was any at-risk issues involved, but just because the parents were so accommodating, let's call it, and so looking to please their kids, that as time went on, they became the parents and they were the kids. So the two parents are now the children that are, of course, footing the bill and taking care of everyone, but they're doing it the way the kids are dictating. And whenever they try to make a decision, the kids talk in. And whenever they're trying to do something for the family and the kids don't like it, then all of a sudden it becomes a whole issue. It can't work like that. Children are children, and parents are parents. And little kids are little kids, and adults are adults. I think this is something very important that if anyone dealing with a situation where they feel like, uh-oh, what do I do? My kids won't handle something. Okay. So the part of that, which means I think I have to take my children seriously and address their feelings, and not just dismiss them, that's very important. But the part about, let me make my decisions based on what my kids want, or I'm afraid of their reaction, or I can't handle another tantrum, so forget about it, we're not doing this, we're not going to that simcha, we're not buying this thing, I think that's a big issue. That's not something that you want to get stuck on, and you want to start running your home that way and getting kids used to this. Now, I think this is just another reason why to be thought out, and plan before you do things. What happens is, I've seen this many times, parents aren't well planned about a certain decision or a certain something. They make a spontaneous, silly decision, or they say something silly, or they commit to something silly, and then the children call them out on it and say, hey, that doesn't make any sense. But then, oh, but that's what I said. I'm not pulling back, right? It's not normal that my children should dictate what I do. Now, your lack of planning and your mistake got you into a pickle, because your children are telling you you're doing the wrong thing, and they're really right, but you don't want to pull back, so what do you do now? Okay, that's a good question. Checkmate. I don't know what you do now. Sometimes you have to come down the tree with grace, and sometimes you have to stay on the tree and do things better next time. But I think that in general, when people are better planned out and thought through, and Tati and Mami discussed something, they made a decision, it gives a certain amount of confidence that they know we're doing the right thing. And now when children demand that you retract or do something differently, it's fine to say, no, Shefla, we talked about this is what we're doing. Now again, we could take you seriously, we could take you into consideration, we could try to make sure that this will affect you only in a good way and take care of anything else. But to give the impression to children that, we're not going to do things the way you don't want, that's never good. So it's cute to ask a child, would you want mommy to bring home a baby? And especially if a child says, yeah, that's awesome. But if a child says no, you know, you want to make sure they're not thinking that you're waiting for their permission. And again, there's only an example, but it's a general idea that I think a lot of parents need help with. Just living the role of parent and being confident, and while being nice, still making the decisions, calling the shots, giving the choices, and working along on their own terms. Now, I just want to end off by saying that, of course, there are exceptions to a lot of different rules over here. Whether it's children that aren't well, or different situations that make things different, or parents that aren't well, having babies and things like that. And they, of course, need special one-on-one guidance and addressing things responsibly, and you should never avoid it. Never avoid getting custom-tailored guidance and help. But in general, I hope that this helped clarify. So I'm just going to summarize that, yeah, having a new baby, even with children that are sensitive, even with children that don't want a baby, is all natural. It's Hashem's way of doing things, and you can rely that it will all be good, Mitzvah Hashem, and just take it slowly and don't do anything unreasonable. Practically, you could try to prepare your children in a way that's just going to make them feel good and address anything that is relevant or pertinent to them. And until they ask any deeper questions than that, I don't think it's important to get any deeper than that. And even when they do, you just address it on a child-friendly level, and I think that's fine. And the last thing was that you shouldn't be afraid of your children. You should be the parents. And children like that. They like confidence. They like strength. They like consistency. They don't like parents that do whatever they want, even though they're asking for them to do it. And I think myself, even though before a baby's born and before anything happens in life, there's always that fear of funa lo yerui. We don't see exactly how Hashem is going to work this out and make everyone excited about it. But myself, after it happens, after anything happens, after we get married and have children, I marry them off and live life. We see how it was always Hashem running the show. It was always Hashem guiding us, and with Hashem's help, this and everything else will turn out nice, and we'll see nachas from all our children.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.